This is the Home Tech Podcast Show, number 97, recorded on November 29th, 2012. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live and commercial-free from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and we post this show each week with world-class show notes out at theAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can contact the show via email. Just send that to us, podcast@theAverageGuy.tv. You can track me down on Twitter, just at Jay Collison. You can even follow the show schedule, which this week I was diligent, posted that out on Monday, so you would know we were podcasting right now, 8 p.m. Central Time, out at theAverageGuy.tv/live. You can also get the complete video portion of the show out at YouTube. Just go out there and search for The Average Guy or Home Tech on YouTube. And of course, again, like I said, we're out here live each week, 8 p.m. Central, over at theAverageGuy.tv live. And don't forget to click on the Amazon affiliate while you're out there. We're doing something very similar to what my buddy Mike Howard does over at JPEG to RAW, and that is we're funneling all those Amazon dollars that we make. If you click on the Amazon link, we make a few cents off each purchase that you do, and we funnel those right back into giveaways. In fact, tonight we'll announce the winners of a giveaway, and we'll introduce a brand new giveaway that's going on. So, you know what's really cool, guys, is that as I'm doing this, my wife is sending about 800 things to the printer right now. I have no idea what's going on back there. I don't know if you guys can hear that or not, but it's printing like there is no tomorrow. If you're new to podcasts and you're looking for an easy way to listen each week, you might want to consider using Stitcher. We have been pimping Stitcher for a while here. It's basically just allows you to stream the podcast. If you don't get them regularly, Stitcher will help you get those to your Android device or iPhone, and they're available each week. Go out to Stitcher.com and search for Home Tech, and actually that'll bring it right up, and you can listen to it and get it scheduled. Each week, we say it's education for your ears. All right, we've got a busy show tonight, and a couple guys, one new one, and a couple regular guys back. Let's introduce the guys who are here all the time. Of course, done with his stint of being super busy and SATs and trying to get into colleges, and I hope he has an announcement for us tonight. Christian Johnson. Christian, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. In terms of announcements, you're going to have to wait 17 days.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, it's been a long wait. Kind of freaky beaky over here, like what's going on with my life. Hoping that the next 4 years of my life are figured out, but we don't know. I don't know, so you don't know. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but in 17 days we will know. So.
All right, 17 days. So December 15th.
Yes, sir.
Something like that. All right. Well, yep. We have a couple podcasts in between now and then. And, of course, we are very excited about what might lie in the future. Kev, did you apply at a couple different places? So you got a couple different things. And I know we talked about Carnegie Mellon, but are there other backup plans? Can you talk about that?
Essentially, Carnegie Mellon is my first choice. So if I get in, it's binding, I'm done. If that doesn't work out for some reason, then I would probably be shooting to end up in Cornell or Princeton.
All right.
So we'll see.
Those two slacker schools, that's just kind of... Cornell or Princeton. Very cool. Very cool. Well, we're excited. I think I might be as excited as you are to hear where you're going, and so we'll wait till December 15th. Well, a guy who doesn't have to wait till December 15th to know anything, he's just always available all the time and trying to get Windows 8 programming going, and that is Gordon Schmidt. Gordon, how are you doing this evening? And hopefully you're not muted.
Hey, Jim, doing good.
Oh, good, you're not. Good. Gordon, how you been? We actually have you, you know, we kind of were a hit or miss through the summer with you, and now we've gotten you kind of the last 6 weeks in rotation. So not as much to catch up on, but are you working on any programming?
So I've been working, well, I was working on creating a Windows 8 application for the Home Server Show, but then in talking to Dave McCabe, would like me to take a look at doing something with surfacegeeks.net.
Oh, cool.
Since that's getting more traffic and kind of right. newer and stuff. So
right.
working on that, trying to crowdsource it to get other people that are interested in it, and maybe some people that maybe are on the design side, the idea side, the coding side, and try to pull all those people together and come out with an application that everybody can own together.
Very cool. So how far along are you?
I have a splash screen and still working on trying to get the RSS feed to pull properly into the grid template that we have.
Oh, very nice. Are you enjoying it? That's the most important thing. Are you enjoying what you're
yeah.
doing?
Okay. Yeah, if I didn't enjoy it, I would just not do it.
Yeah, very cool. Well, keep us posted on that. I think that's the, you know, when the Surface first came out, we did a lot of talking about Surface, and we've kind of laid off of it a little bit at this point, but kind of interesting to see where that goes. So yeah, keep us posted on it. All right, I want to introduce a brand new guy to the show, and I met Sess through Mike Howard. He was out there actually doing joined Mike for the JPEG to RAW over at jpegtoraw.com podcast, and I had to jump in the show a little bit early, and Sess was there, and I saw you had a Yeti mic, and I said, Sess, do you podcast? And he said, yeah. I said, you want to join us over at the Home Tech podcast? He said, yeah, and it took us about 2 months, but we got you on. Sess, hey, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Hey, thanks. I'm glad to be here. It's nice.
Yeah. Good stuff. Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you are actually starting your own a podcast of your own as well, and Design, and that's spelled DEXINE.TV. That's a site that you've put together, and you're going to do some podcasting around. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. Maybe a little bit about what your passions are.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm a photographer, and I came at it kind of sideways, but I do photo, video, and graphic design, and so that's just kind of what the podcast is about. Really, kind of my life in doing all three, freelance, and so I do music too. I just call myself a media guy.
You're the whole media package.
Yeah,
well, that, you know, right? You can do a little bit of everything.
Frederick Van Johnson, he's a big photographer. He said that we are multimediographers, those of us that share talents and divide all this good stuff. So yeah. I took that on. I told him I stole it.
That's good. And you do some media for your church, right? I mean, you do music and video and website stuff for your church, right?
I do. I wish there was a podcast about church media. I would love to be on something like that.
Yeah, you and I talked about that. One of the podcasts, like I need another podcast, like I need a hole in my head. But one of the podcasts we've been thinking about doing is called Church Tech, and it's actually today's church environment. A lot of the churches are getting very technical in the way that they, you know, the way they do church, right? Yeah. The Sunday morning is no longer coming in an organ and the choir. It's a whole multimedia extravaganza. Your church and my church both are very media driven, and so I thought it'd be fun to get a bunch of church tech guys, because the tech that goes into that stuff is a lot like what we do in regular consumer technology, right? We just tweak that to make it work in the church setting. So
yeah, people really don't realize how much there is actually going on at one time, you know?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. When the sound booth has more PCs than like the average office.
Yes.
or Macs, right? I mean, do you guys use Mac in what you do?
No, I wish we did. That would be great. No, we don't. We have PCs. We have the sweet Samsung. I don't know the model, but it runs like a champ. So,
and I know you guys, again, we'll make this a little bit of a pilot for Church Tech, but I know you guys use a program called Easy Worship that takes all the lyrics and we use that as well, right? It takes all the lyrics, puts them up in an easy way to display them. People look at the screen to read the words as opposed to having hymnals or books, right?
Right. It works great. I mean, I do our visual media as far as, you know, I don't run the booth live, but I do our announcements. We have an announcement video that runs a lot like news. I make those each week, and then I drop it in, and yeah, they just load it up in an Easy Worship.
Yeah.
Cues up everything really nicely.
Very cool. Yeah, it's amazing what actually goes on behind the scenes.
Oh yeah.
At some of the newer churches, or more the more contemporary churches that are doing. Not right or wrong. You don't have to do this stuff to, right? It just is.
You don't have to. It's just it's happening.
Well, Sess, welcome to Home Tech, and we're glad you're out here this evening, and glad to have you in on the conversation. Let me get through a couple announcements, because we have a bunch of those to do tonight. One of those is the LastPass giveaway that we've been doing the last couple weeks. So I have a couple names to announce, and these guys will be getting emails from me shortly. I'll dispense of the kind of drawing from the hat kind of thing. We went in there and did that off show. And so Antonio, and I'm going to botch this, but it's Antonio Facciponti, Facciponti. I'm sure I messed that up, Antonio, and I apologize for that. And Rob Berg were both winners for the LastPass Premium, say that five times fast, LastPass Premium giveaway. And you guys, I will contact you via email and send you your Your 12-month subscription to Premium, and you're going to want to renew that every year, LastPass Premium. It's just dynamite. Premium is the way to make it work on your iPhone or Android device, and so congratulations to the two of you, and you'll get those here shortly. And then we start a brand new giveaway this week. Actually, it kicked off today. If you go out to theaverageguy.tv, the very first post is the Pogo Plug giveaway. By the way, I've added a new giveaway category button on the top of the site. It's right smack dab in the middle. It says giveaway. So if you ever want to know exactly what's going on at theaverageguy.tv from a giveaway perspective, just click that link, and that'll take you all the most recent giveaway posts that are out there. We are giving away a Pogo Plug, and so a family member of mine sent this to me. Thank you, Roger, for doing that. A brand new. He did pull it out of the box. It just didn't really work the way he wanted it to for him. It still works. It didn't work the way he wanted it to for him. The Pogo Plug Classic, and that's a four. It's got four USB ports, and allows you to kind of build your own private cloud out of the USB hard drives that you might have. You can use just about anything that is external and USB. They're USB 2.0 drives, and you plug that into your network, and you go to mypogoplug.com and register it, and then you have a private network. I have my own, and I bought that, and I have it on an IC dock right now, and I'm backing up a bunch. Actually, all the podcasts are backed up to it right now. It's not in the cloud. It's here local on my network, and I could use cloud storage as well. If you want more information about that, just head out to pogoplug.com, and there's a lot of information out of it. They retail. You can find them. I was just at Best Buy. They retail for about $50 if you buy them new. The Classic, of course, you can't get these anymore. A little bit of a collector's item. You can't buy them anymore, but they're the new Pogo Plug devices are about $50. We'll be giving that away till December 15th. And if you want to get involved in figuring out how to get that done, just head out to the post. There's about five things you can do to get signed up for it, to get going on that. And there's even, if you tweet out some data, you can even enter one time per day. So go out there, averageguy.tv, look for the giveaway, and you can win a brand new Pogo Plug. And we'll announce that on the show the Thursday, I want to say it's maybe the 14th of December. I don't know. Whatever the second Thursday in December is, we'll give it away. Head out there and get that. If you have any questions, send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. I had a really busy writing weekend. Sorry to dominate the early part of the show here, but I had a really busy ride. I'm really proud of myself that I got all this stuff done because I've been talking about it for the last 2 months. We had a busy weekend last weekend, and I got the Cloud Storage Know It Guide updated. So if you've been following what we're doing with cloud storage, and I shouldn't say all, I might have missed a few. And if I did, you know, let me know. You send me an email and I'll add them. But I got all the major cloud storage players out there and kind of diagrammed out how much they cost based on size, some comments, the ones I've used. I've added my own little comments in on that, so you can head out there and get some idea of what's going on in the cloud, and lots of information around that. So check that out. If you go to theaverageguy.tv and click on this Cloud Storage Know It Guide button over on the right hand side, you'll see it, it's blue. You can get some more information about that. All right, last and final announcement. A lot of things going on. I'm in Kansas City this weekend. If you're anywhere close to the Kansas City area, I will be at the Microsoft store on December 1st. That's this Saturday. From noon till about 5, I'm teaching two Windows 8 classes. It'll be Windows 8 backing up and using the SkyDrive for backup. And so we'll be out in the store teaching those classes, and I'll have some access to the Microsoft resources that are there, and they have a little theater set up. And so if you're in the Kansas City area and you want to head out to the Microsoft store, get that done. The class are at noon and at 3, and we'll put in the show notes kind of the links to all the information about that on Facebook.
Now, and if you really want the truth,
oh boy,
truth is that Microsoft hired Jim to be Santa Claus, and so he's going there dressed up in a Santa Claus suit so that when the children come in looking for their Surface tablets, Jim is just ready to go. He's fired. He's got the white beard on. He's got the Surface tablet in his hand. The kids are just enamored, and Steve Ballmer's thinking this is just going to be the greatest way to sell our OEM license, period.
Or is Jim the new Snofsky? Gallup and moving to Microsoft.
That is the question.
Either one of those would be okay. I was out running the other day. This was just before Thanksgiving, and I was as we come into Gallup, there's this really long drive, really long sidewalk, straight. And I saw this red blob there, and my buddy says, "Are my eyes deceiving me, or does that look like Santa Claus?" of whatever, but he was in full garb, and it was really warm here before Thanksgiving, so he had to be, you know, those suits got to be like a million degrees on the inside. And the guy I was running with, as we passed him, shouted back, "Santa Claus, wait your turn." And so it was, you know, it was the day before Thanksgiving, and we can't even get through Thanksgiving anymore with Santa Claus making an appearance. So Christian, I might be Santa Claus. You might be right. And but I know this: I'll be talking about Windows 8, and I'll be talking about backup, and I'll be talking about SkyDrive. So good stuff. And I think you muted yourself, Christian. So make sure you unmute yourself before you come back.
Yeah, that would help.
Before you come back in. All right.
Go ahead, Jordan. The Microsoft stores, so I live close to the Mall of America one, and those stores are pretty awesome. I mean, you've got screens from the left side when you walk in going and wrapping around the entire store. Many of them are interactive with the Kinect sensors, so you're playing Fruit Ninja or whatever, and hands down the best store you can walk into for IT.
Yeah, we visited that one about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Chris Lux and I, we were down there, and we saw that. And you're right, they're very good stores. Seth, do you guys have a pop-up there in St. Louis?
You know what? I haven't. I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm a little bit surprised.
Yeah, we don't have one. I've got to go to Kansas City to get anything. So it's a little trek for us. My son goes to school down there, so we're going to get 2-for-1 on the weekend and enjoy some stuff. So, well, thanks for joining us. If you're watching us live on YouTube, you've found the Home Tech Podcast, and we appreciate you coming out. And you can follow us. Oh, we lost Christian. He must have crashed. Yeah,
he said it was going to happen. He did.
Yeah, he's been having a little bit of problems. So we'll bring him back in. Gordon, let's talk a little bit about Windows 8 because there has been some debate, at least from what I've been talking to. You know, it's early on in the Windows 8 when it first came out. There was some talk of, you know, multiple monitors. And I assume at this point you've been running it in a multiple monitor setup for a while, right?
Yeah, I've been running it for around five months. In multi-monitor, the betas and stuff, and then RTM when that first came out. And in RTM, a lot of people were talking about the issues where you can't take we'll call it a Metro application, and move it from your left screen to your right screen. You couldn't do that. Well, in RTM, they fixed that issue. But now the issue that I'm finding and wish they would fix was that if I have my left screen as my primary, right, and that's where my Metro tile interface is, and I open up a Metro application and move it to my right screen, if I click the Windows key or try to open up that Metro start screen again, it opens up on whatever screen, so the right screen, whatever screen I have the Metro application on. It doesn't stay. There's no settings to say this is the screen I want you to open on all the time.
Yeah, so it does kind of jump around, doesn't it?
Yeah, so not only do you have the jerking around between the legacy of the traditional desktop and the new Metro or Windows UI interface, if you have multi-screens, it also is pulling you left and right as to where to go to find anything.
Right, right. And your question is why?
Yeah, I mean, why didn't we pull some of the stuff from the legacy where I make a primary desktop, a primary screen, a secondary screen, and just bake that right into the Metro pieces, the Windows UI?
Yeah. Seth, have you messed with Windows 8 much?
Yeah, no, not so much. Okay. I'm an Apple fanboy. We had that conversation.
Yeah, I know. For show purposes, I'm trying to help people to get to know you. So Gordon, I mean, don't you think really? And Christian, this would be a good. Maybe we'll save this here because Christian will want to tee off on this a little bit. But don't you think the multiple monitor issues that are there are really go back to kind of the rushed deployment of it? And we know that, I mean, it really does work great on a single screen. It's not a great multiple monitor, although some people have said they haven't had any problems with it from that standpoint. Yeah. But it's not a great, it really is designed for that single monitor instance to be on a tablet, a touch device. I think that's really where it shines. And you know, I don't know about you, I'm not really planning on putting Windows 8 on my desktop at this point. I mean, Windows 7 works fine. From that standpoint, in fact, it's, you know, I might even wait till a Service Pack 1 release before I move on my desktop to that. But you guys know, I mean, I've got this HP 310 and I love it on there. It works great. It's a single monitor. And so maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's the right way to go about it. You're using it dual. Is it enough to make you want to go back to Windows 7?
No, it's I like Windows 8. I like the features that it has. I like the applications and things. The one thing I am finding, the more I'm using it and the more tablets get to be bigger and take over more of the market and stuff, is that I'm down to one traditional desktop computer in the house, and then everything else is tablets or smartphone or and that's pretty much it, all tied back into that one machine that's just hosting all the data and everything, and I go to that if I want to do some admin tasks or multitask and do, you know, 4 or 6 things at once, but otherwise I'm not going to it that often, so I'm using it less and less.
Sess, I know you say you're an Apple guy. Any as you viewed this Windows 8, now this is actually a great opinion because we're all a bunch of Windows guys. I've gathered, you know, a bunch of Windows guys around me. What has been your take on Microsoft's deployment of Windows 8, looking from the outside in?
I think the advertisement and everything has been cool. I think the marketing standpoint was. You know, it's a neat approach. So I mean, visually stuff is cool. I don't know. I'd actually like to get in to further answer your other question. I'd like to get in and really play with it just to see. I mean, I'm interested. I don't have any hands on right now. But it does interest me. I want to see what new things have been implemented because I've just heard that there have been a lot of cool additions. And so it's interesting. I'll put it there.
Okay. And do you see from the what you've heard from the media standpoint, mm-hmm. right? Is your impression that this has been an adequate rollout? That it's a debacle? Are a lot of people using it? Is nobody using it? What do you think? What are your impressions from what you hear from the media?
My impressions are that it's just a really a mix. Like, a lot of people seem to be, just like you're saying in the conversation now, happy with 7, and you know, it just doesn't seem like everyone is rushing out to get it, but there are a lot of people that are, this is my opinion and what I see that there are a lot of people that are the ones that rush out and figure things out that do like it. So it's a mix from what I see from the outside.
Well, you found those people right here. We're all, you know, this group around us and many more, right, are the ones with early adopters on Windows 8. And interesting, if you haven't joined our Facebook group, go out to facebook.com/groups/theaverageguy. And there was a really lively thread started by our friend Christian, who kind of said, yeah, I predicted the summer, and we're going to talk about it because he's not here. So let's do this while Christian's not in here. So, you know, Christian started the thread kind of saying, neener, neener, neener. I called it this summer. Windows 8 is, you know, it's lackluster sales. You know, the guy who ran the program has left. You know, there's no faith in it. And then, of course, like Tim will jump back in and say, oh, so 40 million copies sold in faster time than Windows 7 was sold. That's lackluster sales. I mean, really, is that, you know, everybody's trying to define success and failure. There's a lot of people who want to see it succeed. There's a lot of people that want to see it fail. And we're the same. We're the same way on the Windows side. For us Windows fanboys, we would love nothing more than to see an iPad failure, right?
I know.
And I don't know why it has to be that way.
Mike influences everyone. That's what it is. Mike, he has the word. He says this.
You're blaming Howard on this, huh?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So with that in mind, Gordon, you picked up an iPad Mini, right? And did you get one? Did you pick one of those up?
Yeah. So, well, it's from work. So my job allows me to be able to have lots of things. So I have a bunch of Android tablets, Windows tablets coming, and then I have an iPad Mini and an iPhone 5. So I get to try that stuff out, even though I'd rather stay on the Microsoft side or the Android side. So I have an iPad Mini. The one I have has got the black smart cover on it and the black on the back. And The thing I wanted to note about it is that because I have an iPad, the full size and the mini, I find myself actually grabbing the 7-inch more than I grab the full size.
Really?
And one of the things that goes into that for me is the fact that without a case around it, the original iPad digs into my hands a lot. If I have it in my hands for, say, 20 minutes or more, the corners dig in, where the iPad mini has the iPhone 5 edges on it, so they're more rounded over, they're more polished and stuff. It doesn't dig into your hands as much, plus you can do one-handed operation with it, and it's still big enough to want to read off it, to watch a video off it, that kind of thing. So I think this, I think the 7-inch is the sweet spot, like everybody's been saying, and they did a good job on the iPad mini. Android or something.
that's a really interesting interesting take, because as I was watching the video, we have two iPads in the house, and as I was watching the video, I wasn't really drawn to the mini. I was like, if I didn't have an iPad at all, I'd probably still buy the 10-inch. I'd probably still buy the one that I have right now, because I'm just really happy with it personally. But I mean, different strokes for different folks. A lot of people are liking the mini and looking forward to the new HD stuff coming along.
Yeah, and they'll definitely, I mean, they don't have Retina on the mini now.
Yeah.
Which pushes a lot of people towards the other side, but you can't, it's smaller form factor, same resolution, shrunken down, so you really can't tell unless you put it next to each other. None of us know, but obviously the next one you would think would be a Retina display. Yeah, and they're going to take the same edging and stuff from this one and adapt it into the new ones, I would think.
Which iPad again do you have? Do you have Retina?
I don't. I have the 3.
Okay, because what I've been told, now I'm a big podcaster, I listen to a lot of folks, but what I've been told from or what I've seen from someone that has the Retina, and they bought an iPad mini and they looked at it and they could just kind of feel that difference in resolution, the gap there. So I don't know. I don't have a Retina device that big. So I was wondering if I'd be able to really feel it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell.
The question is, if you're on an Gordon, yeah, so you're on a 3, which is non-Retina.
Right.
And you go to the similar. It's like, it was like when I set up the, the ultra sharp IPS monitor for Tim, and then and my monitors are fine right now. I'm looking at them. I don't need to swap my monitors. These are non-IPS. They're crappy.
But you go back home.
I go hang out on his PC for a few minutes, and I come back here, and I'm like, this is crap. How did I ever live with this? Because, it's all about perspective. And, Paul is saying out in chat, yeah, he can't go to the 7-inch because going from Retina to non-Retina, it might be just too much to overcome. But, Gordon, in your case, you're not doing that, right? You're going from a non-Retina to a non-Retina. Although that's got to be smaller, right? Everything is still pretty small. Do you find yourself trying to struggle to read?
It is smaller. The one thing I notice the size difference on the most is the keyboard.
Mm.
So when
I pull
the keyboard up, I notice that when I'm using the mini most, so when I go back to the original, the iPad 3, the keyboard looks huge compared to that. But text and other things, that I don't really notice that as much.
Like using your whole fist on the keyboard.
Almost.
Wow.
Christian, are you with us?
I am. My computer's doing some strange things at the moment. But
yeah, no sweat. You sound good, and you're coming from a different video orientation. But Christian, you guys are using iPads, right, at school?
Yeah, majority of the class uses iPads. I actually had one of my friends in AP Chem just bought a Nexus 7 and is really happy with it. Mm. But yeah, everyone's on the Surface. It's kind of the wave in the academia.
On the Surface or on the iPad?
Oh, sorry. I mean, like, everyone's... sorry.
It's like, wow. Yeah, yeah, how did that happen?
No.
Yeah. Everyone's on the iPad. So majority from your perspective, have you looked at the seven inch size? Would you go to a mini for school stuff that you do, or do you really need the 10-inch screen for the stuff that you do?
I mean, I looked at the guy's 7-inch Nexus, and yeah, it was cool. I mean, the form factor was definitely neat, having that vertical kind of layout. You know, it's a holdable device. I personally would probably still want the 10 inches. Maybe it's just because I've been used to it so long with having 10 inches on my netbook that's kind of my my default minimum screen size, but I don't think it's a bad option for people. I think it's a really cool, like, high-powered Nook, to be honest with you. You know, you load up a bunch of readable materials on there and go buck wild, so.
See, I look at it backwards. When I see that 7-inch and I think about mine, I think about the stuff that I can't do. I'm like, I'm missing real estate here. That's what I feel like, personally.
Yeah, I can't argue with you there, because it's like, even like on my 24-inch monitor, I feel like I'm always out of space, but yeah. But I mean, like, for a reader, like, if you know, if you're sitting on the John reading the newspaper, you know, 7-inch might not be a bad one. So,
you know, that would be an interesting thing. You know how people, a lot of times you might go over to someone's house and they have a magazine rack next to the toilet. What if it was a rack with a Nexus and a...
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Oh, that's a good question, Seth. What do you... Okay, so you're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you got a mini or an iPad? Which one, Mike Howard, don't put anything nasty in chat. Which one do you pick?
I think that one I might go with the mini, because you need the other hand. I'm done.
That's awesome. That's a good. That's right. That's a good way to look at it. You know. Oh man. Well, you know, guys, if you're watching live, Mike Howard early in the show said, "Hey, we're not seeing the YouTube video," and I'm like, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I was getting busy." And you know, I've only done 400 of these podcasts, and so you know, there's about 8 million steps to get started. So tonight, I forgot to click Start Broadcast on YouTube. So this is not going straight out to YouTube. The good news is we have live stream backing us up, and I can download that and upload that to the YouTube video for the show. But it just must be the 3 hours of sleep that I didn't get last night. So no one's watching us on YouTube. I apologize for that. The video all the way down at the bottom is not working. You'll have to watch us on live stream tonight. So I apologize for that. We'll upload it to YouTube a little bit later. I think I would lean, and you know what? I don't have a tablet either way, but I think if I was going with one, I think I would start with a 7-inch tablet at this point and work my way up.
You had the HP touchpad at one point.
I did have the HP touchpad, and you know what? It is a little big to carry around with me. I love the fact that with my laptop, I just close it and I feel more protected. I mean, it's the screen is inside and I have a keyboard and I am much more comfortable. You know, if I was going to do a Surface, I would want the Type. Mm-hmm. If I were going to do an iPad, I would want the 10-inch with a cover that's got real keys on it. I don't know if I want to do, I'm going to mess with it when I'm down at the Microsoft store here on Saturday. I don't know if I want to go with the smooshy keys, but I haven't even tried them yet, so I don't know for sure.
Well, and
but
I used my for college stuff, when my iPad replaced my my laptop, I just used my Bluetooth keyboard from my computer. I was trying to make it a reason for me to buy another Bluetooth keyboard, but my wife wasn't going for that, so.
Yeah.
but yeah, I feel you on the keys. I understand. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Christian, when you dropped out, we switched over. We had been talking about Windows 8 a little bit, and we made I was talking about you while you're gone. Just full disclosure, I had I had referenced your link that you had put in out on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
About you kind of saying, "Hey, I called it this summer. You know, it's lackluster sales." I know Tim came back with a comment. Hey, look. They've sold 40 million copies of Windows 8, or at least Windows 8 has 40 million deployments or whatever that is. It's faster than Windows 7 is. So because you're on the podcast, what do you say to that? I mean, expand on that a little bit. What are your thoughts? We kind of blew through that when you weren't here.
Yeah, well, I mean, my point is this. 40 million total deployments, how many of those are on mobile devices? And I'm betting the answer to that is very many, because there's a couple things going on that people are not seeing, and I think, and I have to verify the numbers, so this is not set in stone yet, but one, I'm willing to guess that there are far more mobile sales, meaning people buying tablets, the RT, the tablet, the netbook, whatever. They're getting more sales on the mobile stuff. The desktop is not making sales. from home end user to enterprise user. That is the disconnect that I was foreseeing over the summer and believe is still here. I've seen a lot of people talk about how they've been trying to get their wife to use the Windows 8 and they can't adopt. In the market share, Windows 8 has taken a hit. Now, I again need to study the pricing structure. However, Windows 7 was at a very different price point from what Windows 8 is, and they may be keeping up with volume in theory. Again, need to verify this mobile versus desktop component, but even if they're keeping up with volume, they're definitely not keeping up with revenue, and there's some serious gaps that Microsoft is putting some, you know, some fancy round numbers on it to make it look like they're coming out financially ahead from this, and I think it's setting them back.
Trickery.
More than they're willing to acknowledge, and I think the proof of that is when you have the CEO of Newegg coming out and saying, yeah, there's more people who are like seeing these Windows 8 laptops and saying, no, I'm going to get the one that has Windows 7 on it. That's coming right from Newegg, one of the largest vendors across the United States that's selling, you know, refurbished and new pieces of hardware to people every single day. They're one of the top, and for them to say that is a crushing blow to Microsoft.
Wow.
I'd be interested to see what Tiger Direct thinks. I think you're seeing more in-sale stores than you're seeing online stores. I think more people are saying the Surface Tablet is something I want to try out in like a Microsoft store, and then they're buying it. I think the sales are stronger there. And, you know, like I said, there's only so many reasons why the CEO of Microsoft fires the lead of the Windows 8 product team. And I think we're, you know, for the people that say, you know, everything is green and we're good to go, that's clearly not the case if the lead of Windows 8 is no more. So whether there are certain areas where it's being successful or not, I think it's more important to realize that you can't just walk away from the fact that he's not there anymore. Stuff is going wrong. What I have yet to pinpoint and give you numbers on is what exactly that is, but I guarantee you it will be revealed because the numbers are there, and I have to peruse some mathematical data here, so we'll get that to you next week.
Did you take the blue pill or the red pill, Christian?
This rabbit hole goes deep.
He might have got
Looks like he's in, yeah.
He's back.
Hey, guys.
We talked about you, Jim.
We did.
Awesome.
Oh, we went there.
I even referenced your increased bandwidth use.
It happened.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows what happened. All right, let's see if I can get this thing back to where it should be. One sec, guys. Hang tight.
Okay.
We are live, so you can keep saying bad things about me. It's probably because you guys were all trying to gang up on me in chat that the system just gave up and said no.
Well, did you grab that Black Friday crash plan deal and you got crash plan going in the background or what?
I wonder if I got anything going in the background that might be. I don't think so.
I don't know if any of you other guys saw that crash plan was selling. I picked it up for a year on Black Friday for almost free. $3.60 is all I paid.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Unlimited backup to the cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I already have my backup plan, so I think I'm good on crash plan. Did we? No, that was me and Jim. Yeah, but I'll leave that there.
All right, hang tight with me. I'm trying to get the audio or the video just right again. It's it takes a little bit of effort to recover from a complete failure. On. you know, there's so many steps involved in this to get it all put it back together.
Well, you still have audio, don't you?
Well, I'm not sure the feed is working anymore. Mike is saying I need to. We have audio. I don't know if it's all back. Let me get this live stream going again. So I'm not sure if we. Mike says they lost the feed, and so I don't know what that. Okay, so I'm hearing it out there. You guys should be able to hear us now, right? Let's do that. Okay, you see us, and you should be able to hear us, hopefully. Let's throw the mixer in there and just kind of see. You can hear us out there?
I muted it, and I heard it.
Very cool.
And the crop is back, correct?
The crop. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, the video.
Yep,
Yep. I had to make some adjustments to that. Are we any quieter than now? We should be fine. Okay. Well, sorry about that. Yeah, I had to adjust the crop when I was doing some stuff. So hopefully it's back now. Well, that's fun. That was a nice little. That'll be a nice little edit that I have to do on the video and the audio to make this all come together. So.
You know what? I'm gonna give you some credit because you recovered. You recovered. It didn't take too long. We got a little bit of talk behind your back, and then you made it happen.
It's not my first rodeo.
Exactly.
Not the first time I've crashed. Not something like this. Although the video is struggling. Well, to get back to the Windows 8 chat real quick. So, Christian, I was saying this, and Christian, do I have you back?
Yes.
Okay, good. To say this, I don't disagree with you, and there are some serious problems behind the scene at Microsoft right now, some serious challenges that they have. From everything that I'm hearing from through the channels, you know, Sanofsky was a tyrant to work with, not unlike a Steve Jobs, and he got a lot done in a short period of time, pushed a lot of things through, right or wrong. The guy got results. He got developers to finish things on time for the most part. He was pushing, it seems like he was pushing an agenda at Microsoft of one OS to rule them all, so to speak, and it was going to be Windows at the end of the day that would win at the sacrifice of a Windows mobile platform or a Windows phone platform that might have been, you know, I think the best example of that is Windows Phone 7 should have probably come to the RT platform instead of Windows 8. It should have, you know, we should have bumped the phone OS up, or we could have bumped the phone OS up to the tablet as opposed to bringing Windows down to it. And of course, that was not his mission or his plan. And of course, he derailed that. Sounds like he derailed that. I don't have any inside information on that, but from everything I know, it sounds like he derailed that and was probably the beginning of the end for him at Microsoft. So they've got some things to fix over there for sure. I don't doubt it'll be interesting to see how, you know, you asked the question, so what, 40 million copies of whatever, right? Whether sold or shipped or what yeah. have you, right? That's got to be PC sales. I mean, I can't, well, there's upgrades for sure. I mean, people are buying and taking advantage of the $40 upgrade. At this point, and for every
like
single
I said,
one of those,
and that's definitely not getting them the revenue that they were getting with Windows 7 upgrades. I mean, you couldn't upgrade to Windows 7 for under $100 when it came out.
Yeah, they don't need the revenue right now. To be honest with you, they need adoption, right?
Yeah.
they want people to move on to this. So this is certainly a loss leader for them to. I just see this that just broke.
What is that?
On my microphone. Watch what happens. It's the
Oh,
I'm having that kind of night.
You hit the maximum amount of adjustments on that.
You did.
I did. Well, I reached the maximum amount. So the Yeti
and it's not covered under warranty.
Yeah, let's see if I can that doesn't sound very good. No, this part that is not covered under warranty. So when you buy, so here's a product review for the blue, whatever this,
blue
what do we
Yeti.
Call this thing? It's the Blue Yeti, but the shock mount.
Oh, yeah.
If you twist that too hard, it breaks. Golly.
Refund time.
I'm having that kind of night. I guess I'll have to hold it. So anyways.
Ninjas have uncovered that a while ago. Like heads, twist them hard enough, they break.
Yeah, yes,
I'm sorry.
They break.
I'm into ninjas. I'm into ninjas. Hey, there was one more tangent. I just want to give you another credit. Is that anytime someone can throw in a Lord of the Rings reference, it makes the moment epic, regardless of what it is. You know, one energy drink to rule them all. If you say that moment that just happened was epic because I just made the Lord of the Rings reference. So there you go.
One energy drink. How's that? Look at that. One. I just adapted.
There
Looks
you
like
go.
Old school days now.
Look at that. It just swings. This
that's,
is ridiculous.
That's all right.
This is ridiculous. All right. Windows 8. Let's move off of that and let's close those books. I think Christian, you said we've got some numbers to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. it'll be interesting to see how that goes forward. I did want to let folks know, you know, on Windows 8, one of the nice things that I've on the tablet I've been able to take advantage of is using both LastPass, which just did an update this last week. So if you use LastPass on Windows 8 at all, since we've been giving it away, that updated a couple weeks ago. But I've been using TeamViewer a lot more, and they just had a new update as well that came out and went through. Seth, I wanted to ask you, do you use anything for last week? We talked about join.me, mm-hmm. and we talked about TeamViewer. Do you use anything to support remote access, family, friends, those kinds of things?
Not so much. I mean, I remote access my computer, use it and go to my PC. I do that all the time. But you know, as far as interacting with other people, not so much. Not really. I mean, the farthest we might go is something like a Google Hangout or Skype, and we share a screen for a minute. But no, I mean, okay. I share documents with my Box account and stuff like that. But no, okay. It's not at all like that.
Christian, what are you using these days? I think you missed that conversation last week. What are you using for remote access or help people out, you know, like TeamViewer?
TeamViewer 7 is really the easiest for me. They just, you know, it must be something about going to teamviewer.com and they see that huge, colossal green download now button, and they just go, oh, I can just click that, and then they get the ID to you really fast. It's kind of weird. So that's just kind of worked well, and I don't want to change that formula.
Yeah. Yeah, and I use that with my mom, and that works as well. Although we tried Join. Have you heard of Join.me? Did you listen to the show last week?
I didn't get a chance to.
I heard it, and I thought that sounded awesome. I thought that sounded really cool. That was a new one on me. I was like, I got to check that out. Might be worth it.
Yeah, Nathaniel brought that up, and it's kind of a drop dead. Gordon, have you ever tried that? Did you try it all? Join.me?
I haven't. I still use TeamViewer.
Yeah. Just real quick, it really, if you're going to share the screen with somebody, they go to join.me and install this little applet or little plugin, basically. Mm-hmm. And then it gives you that number like you would get in TeamViewer. And it says here, share this with the person. And then on my end, I would go to join.me and put that number in, and bam, you're connected just like that. I mean, it is no more complicated than that, and it works very, very well for.
And that, go ahead. Sorry, I just jumped into the join.me website, so it looks very much like a rebranding of Hamachi because it's by Logman.
Yeah, might be. So might mm-hmm. indeed be that, but for an average guy, I was just super impressed last week or 2 weeks ago. I guess it's been Thanksgiving was last week, but. I was just super impressed when Nathaniel brought that up, because remote access, a TeamViewer can be a little bit of an install for people, and there's a lot of different options in there. This join.me is just install number. Give that number to somebody, and bam, you're connected. And on the show 2 weeks ago, Nathaniel gave me that number, and I did that on the Windows 8 box as well. You just go to the browser, put the number in, and you're in, and you're connected. So a great, just a easy connection service to be able to pull that off. So
that was a nice live demo.
Yeah, we didn't intend to do it at all. It just kind of worked out. So yeah.
My interest is the cost, because I could actually definitely use this service. I think that would be pretty cool. And I was just trying to see how much it was after the free trial. So by
Pro. Now, which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about join.me.
No, it's free. It's always free. It's completely free. No charge for that. If you're going to use LogMeIn, which is another one of their remote access devices, you'll pay for that software after a free trial, what have you. But join.me between two is free.
Okay, because I am looking at join.me. It says $12.42 a month, whatever that is.
What?
Just the website, join.me. Is it?
Yeah. So it looks like there's a pro and a basic version.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is there a mobile app for join.me?
There's a mobile app for everything.
Okay. There's well, of course. I see do apps. Mobile first, right?
I do
mobile
see
first,
apps at the top. Elsewhere. Yeah. I do see. Yeah, actually. So that looks pretty cool. Free apps for download.
Yeah, you just click the basic and do that little plug-in, and then you're free at that point. There's no charge for that.
I'm gonna try that out. Definitely. I want to see.
Yeah, you know what? Pick somebody out who you know is not very tech savvy, and say,
see how they can get through it.
Say, try this. Yeah. Hey, let's do this. Go to join.me, click on the basic, start the download, give me the number. And then you would come over on the screen, go to join on the join side. They'll put in that 9-digit number, hit start, and you'll be connected. Give that a try. See what that, see how that works.
Cool.
And what's the password requirements on that?
No passwords.
Oh, okay.
On this one. Yeah, on this one. So Nathaniel's, he was saying the way they use that is in school, if they have somebody who's visually impaired, in the classroom, and they're using their iPads, they can go in there, and what the teacher's doing on the screen, they can share their screen with them, and somebody can have that really, really close to them to be able to see it. And they can use this, they use this join.me to be able to pull that off.
Hey, now, just to be fair, it doesn't necessarily have to be an iPad, but it probably will be because everyone loves those.
Oh, boy. You know, Mike's not going to happy with you, Seth, right? You may not
absolutely
ever get to come back.
And he doesn't have a microphone, so just like Adam Sandler, I'm going to say, you listen to every word I have to. No, I'm just kidding.
But Jim does have a drop Seth call button.
Yeah, I can just mute. No, I'm not the iPad hater. I'm not the iPad hater.
No. I said Jim doesn't have. I meant Mike doesn't have a microphone.
Oh yes, he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't.
Right now.
He's out there. He's out there in chat for sure.
I'm doing this. I'm doing this to torment. I love this. It's good right now.
I know you are, and you're doing a pretty nice job of it as well. All right, guys, we've dropped the video, we've dropped the audio. I broke my microphone tonight. We have had all kinds of issues. We are at somewhere in the realm of an hour or something. So we can wrap this up. But anything else, anybody, it's been a weird night. And Seth, I apologize that it doesn't always go this way. You've listened to my shows before.
Yeah,
you know it doesn't
always
go
this way. That's cool. That's cool. So it's just another reason to come back so we can have another smooth show.
Yeah, right on. Tell me a little bit about, again, tell me a little bit about your site. Is that up and working? DEXINE or design.tv? Yeah. Tell me a little bit about kind of your vision for that real quick.
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, there are a lot of people that just kind of ask me about different aspects of what I do. I'm working on a documentary as one of my projects right now, but that's just kind of on hold until January. But anyway, photo, video, graphic design, it's the multimedia journey through those things from the perspective of a freelance guy, someone that's doing it on their own, out and about. So design TV, it's a page on my regular website, which is design.me. My business is called Intelligent Design, spelled DEXINE. But if you, the short link to it is if you just type in your browser, design.tv, that'll take you straight to the page. Right now, the only thing we have up is the intro, because I just wanted to get something up for iTunes to approve it. But we're officially in iTunes now, so that was a good feeling to get that email. That's cool. Where we are.
All right. Very good. Great to have you on the show. Gordon, anything you wanted to... Anything we missed you want to cover?
I think I'm good. I'm curious to see if we go on for a little bit longer what else might happen in the gym, but...
I think you might have just jinxed him.
Oh, man.
See, why'd you say that,
I
man?
Think there's a pattern. If we go back and look at the time, we can see a time gap and something's... A job
you actually
running.
Just jinxed him.
We'll
there must be something going on with Google Hangout, because...
You think
I froze
so?
Twice now, and
well,
Christian
but...
looks like he froze.
I'm here.
Okay. He's there.
I
don't think so. I think it's me. I think it's on my end because I keep. What happens is, I keep getting the. I just keep getting knocked off. I get completely kicked off the network here. So
did
we'll
you say something
the,
bad about Google?
You know, I who knows at this point what I've done wrong to invoke. This kind of anger on the internet gods.
There we go.
You did catch me saying that I want to hold on just a couple more minutes to see if anything happens to you, and then it happened.
Did you hear that part?
Yeah, I did hear that part. And then as soon as he said that, somebody said, don't jinx it. And then, whoop, off it went.
I think Gordon has some power there.
He must. He must.
I do have a stateless button. That was an easy button. I don't know.
Oh, man, I lost mine, and that was the worst day of my life. I said, where is my easy button?
This is going to be a nightmare podcast to try and produce. I'm already going to be short on time this weekend with the – trip down to Kansas City, and I still have to actually write like 90% of the presentation. And put slides together. I plan to do that tomorrow. I mean, tonight.
So Jim, tell me this: yeah. if the home server MVP ship has fallen by the wayside, are you looking to hop on like the Windows 8 Metro MVP bandwagon? Is that what's going on?
No, not at all. I'm going to get shifted to the server team at this point. I'm pretty sure that's where we're headed from MVP standpoint. I think I'm doing one is they sent out invites to all the MVPs and said, hey, we'd love you guys to get more involved in the store during the holiday season. We'll do whatever it takes to get you down there and you know, figure it out. And I thought, hey, I love to do this kind of stuff. And I've been messing around a lot with Windows 8. And I wanted to do some kind of something, since I'm a home server backup guy, I wanted to do something that kind of resembled. I can't go down there and talk about Windows Essentials or Windows Server 2012 Essentials, right? And that's not going
to
work.
How old do you have to be to be an MVP? Is it 18 or 21?
How old are you? 17? It's 20. It's 19. Then I don't know, Christian. I don't know. I don't think there's an age requirement.
Oh, I think there was, because I remember at one point distinctly I wanted to apply and I was like, oh, nope, age.
Yeah.
So Jim, did the store do marketing for you?
Yeah, so they have posters and signs, and okay, it's like, awesome. Backup man is here.
No,
it's not that way at all.
You have a suit? That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Backup man. they have done, so actually in the show notes, there are two Facebook links, and so if you go, not a good way to do it in chat here if you're listening live, but they're doing this whole campaign on Facebook, and so there's public links out there with these sessions out at the Kansas City store done. They're doing some advertising. They're going to invite people in to each of the sessions from the store when that kicks off. They're putting out some media. They've put out some media over the last couple of days. So I don't know. I could have Rennie says underwear on the outside. There could be five people. There could be one. It could be zero. Who knows? It'll just be fun to go down. We needed to go down to Kansas City anyways to see Josh, and so we're going to head down there and be interested.
Yeah, the only reason I was asking, because if they're doing something at the Mall of America one, I'd be interested in going to that.
Yeah, they're doing them at all the stores, Gordon, to be honest with you. They're doing these. I think they're calling it Consumer Boot Camp, and the idea is to...
They do a horrible job in marketing, letting you know.
Oh, my God. It is the worst. It is the ask. They, you know, there's no doubt they do. They absolutely don't do a great job of marketing. They're terrible at it.
Even
Christian,
if they just let you know, like, at all that it's going on, but there's nothing.
Well, to be honest, I just found out. I mean, we've been talking about this for 3 weeks, and it just became official, like, official, like yesterday. I've been hinting at it for the last week and a half, but I didn't have an official store notification until today, till yesterday, that yep, this is set, and it went live on Facebook. So I don't know. Part of it is I just hope to go down and hang out in the store and goof around with some equipment, and you know, because I'll be the local MVP, I'll get to, you know, goof around with some stuff and have some store access and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just for fun, to be honest. I'm just gonna go down and have a good time. So
cool.
And can you moonwalk? No, I can't. Oh, maybe I could do. I could play. I could kill some Xbox while I'm down there, though. Maybe that's what I'll do. Is just get after some Xbox
stuff. What's your game?
None of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I would. When I say kill, what I mean is I would be killed all the time.
Oh,
no,
okay. What, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, don't jump into the Call of Duty ring, because Michael tear you up there.
No, they will kill me. Christian, anything else you want to cover? Any questions? Besides minimum age for MVP?
Yeah, besides minimum age for MVP. No,
you don't have to make something up. We've gone long enough.
I don't think there's any impending questions.
All right, good.
Only. Yeah, that's all I got for you.
All right, good stuff. Well, we will wait for December 15th to come along. We've got big announcements for you coming up. And again, Seth, thanks for coming out tonight and joining us on a disaster of a podcast. And Gordon, thank you for coming out as well. And it's good to if you're listening live, and I don't know why you, at this point you still would be listening live, but there's a handful of you out there at the averageguy.tv/live listening live. I will remind you that we do record the show every Thursday, and it's never more fun than when it's live. Every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, out at theaverageguy.tv/live. Of course, you can always find us on YouTube, iTunes, Google Plus, even Facebook by searching The Average Guy Podcast or Home Tech. And please leave some likes, although after this show, maybe don't leave any comments. But leave some likes, votes, plus ones, any help. Full tidbits would be kind. And then just remind you, we do have the Amazon affiliate link out there. If you're buying from Amazon and you click through that link, we'll make a few cents and we turn that into giveaways like we did the Pogo plug, or like we're going to do with the Pogo plug that we're giving away right now. Head out to theaverageguy.tv. Click on that and you can find out how to win. All right, we're back next week. Thanks, guys, for listening. And we'll do it all again next Thursday. A couple new guests. And Christian, are you back next week? Do you think you're on?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Christian. And we hope to get Andrew back. Andrew was remote, so he chimed in and wouldn't be able to get on his Android phone. So Andrew will be back as well. Everybody have a great night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.